Hello, and welcome to The Drop, the official podcast of the 130th Airlift Wing. I'm First Lieutenant Dewan Haley, your host for today's pre-UTA podcast. We are joined by our wing commander, Colonel Brian Priest, and our deputy wing commander, Colonel Richard Switzer. Colonel Priest, what are your priorities for this UTA weekend?
Hey, good morning, Lieutenant Haley. Thanks for having us. We've got three things I want to talk about. One is our priorities for this drill. The second one is some recognition for some folks who have achieved significant things this weekend. And then the last is just to look forward for the next few months. So starting with priorities, they're probably the same as just about every drill, which is readiness. I'm happy to say, you know, we don't have any wing-wide formations, any wing-wide events that'll take up airmen's time. So we hope that they use this drill to work on your training, get your medical appointments, PT tests, anything you need to do to stay ready. And then most importantly, I hope we find time to work at our AFSC at our job, because that's sometimes overlooked and the limitations we have on time. But being good at your job is one of the most important things we do. Looking at some accomplishments this weekend, I want to start with the medical group, Colonel Short. He's been the commander there for about 6 years now. He's done a fantastic job. General Cochran selected him to serve as the state air surgeon in headquarters, and he'll begin that position on July 1st. So I want to congratulate Colonel Short. We are in the process of interviewing for the next med group commander, and hopefully if all goes well by July 1st, we'll have a new one announced and in place. Staying with the med group, the SURF, I want to mention them. They were selected as the Air National Guard Outstanding Unit of the Year. It's a great testament to the work that that squadron does. Behind the scenes, they're extremely active. They're on call to support our nation, you know, if they were needed, and they are TDY a lot, so appreciate what they're doing. Moving over to the operations group, I got a promotion this weekend for Senior Master Sergeant Jimmy Harper. Jimmy is our chief loadmaster. He's a guy who's deployed multiple times. He's excellent at his craft. He's always been ready when called upon, and I'm really proud of him to see the promotion that he's getting. It's well-deserved, and that'll be at 1500 on Saturday if you get a chance to come up and recognize him. We also have a promotion outside the wing, but very local to us. On Friday at 10 o'clock, Lieutenant Colonel Rob Sloan will be promoted to Colonel. Rob now is the Director of Staff in Headquarters, but he's a lifelong member of the wing. Great guy, great person, really hard worker, and I look forward to seeing him get this well-deserved promotion. Another event going on, so on Saturday at noon, we'll have our second Hall of Honor induction. So if you're not familiar with the Hall of Honor, if you walk in Building 141 right there on the first floor, you'll see one person on the hall right now, and that is Chief Master Sergeant Dan Chandler. We started this program a couple years ago. It's kind of to immortalize great members of the wing, those who have reached retirement status, served with the this the highest excellence, and also represented the wing well outside of the uniform. The next induction on this Saturday will be Chief Debo. Chief retired a few years ago from the as the state command chief. But most of us, especially if you've been here a while, you remember him as the chief in Aerial Port. I personally remember him. I was a E1 assigned to Aerial Port, spent 6 years there working for him, and I can attest that it was a highly disciplined unit. It was structured. It was demanding. But you were also treated incredibly well. There's a lot of pride if you worked for him. And you can see the fruits of his effort with leaders in this wing, both enlisted and officer. There's a disproportionate amount who come from the Aerial Port, and that is a testament to Chief Bo's leadership. We'll have another Hall of Honor induction that I'll talk about more down the road, but that is Colonel Bill Peters. I also want to congratulate him. And for anyone who's listening, if you're curious about the Hall of Honor, you can make it. There's a nomination process. You make the nomination, and then there's a board who will meet. It's very tough standards to get in. I mean, I think we can only do like two a year. I'm going off memory on that, but there's a limitation on how many we can accept, but it's a pretty low number. But get with Chief King if you're interested and if you have a retiree in mind that you'd like to recognize. Last, I want to talk about going down the road. So we have no drill in July. That's one reason it's important that we get our training done this June so we can take advantage of the month off in July. Then coming into August, we're going to start getting ready for probably our last round of the most recent model deployments. We have several different sections and squadrons deploying through the fall and early spring. Once they return home, we will be into the DCW Deployable Combat Wing, pretty much full throttle. I expect we'll have that unit manning document here, and we'll begin to train for our first DCW deployment, which is roughly 3.5 years away. We'll be partnered with a fighter aircraft, Air National Guard wing, and between the two wings, we will deploy together as one. So it's going to be a lot different, but it's also going to be exciting times. What will remain the same, if any of these things feel daunting or, you know, confusing, just keep in mind that if you're good at your job, whatever your AFSC is, if you're good at it and you are deployable, meaning you're medically ready, physically, emotionally, financially, then you've got 99% of it done. Doesn't matter if you're an airman or a chief master sergeant, lieutenant colonel, lieutenant. Be good at your job and be deployable, and the rest will fall into place. So that's pretty much it for me. Before I turn it over to Colonel Switzer, I want to mention Chief King. He wasn't able to make this podcast today, but he's been in the job for a couple months now. He's doing a fantastic performance right now. He is putting in a lot of hours working for our airmen. So if you see him, please thank him for the effort he's putting in, and also reach out to him and get to know him, because he's off to a great start. And with that, Colonel Switzer, it's all yours.
All right. Thanks, sir. Appreciate the opportunity to sit here with you and the LT today to talk about all the great things that are happening in the wing and looking ahead to June UTA. I, too, have three things that I'd like to talk about. But before I get into that, since we, as you guys that are listening out there know, we obviously record this podcast in advance of whatever UTA we're going to be talking about. And you talked about the SURF and how well they're doing. And, you know, one of the key components of their performance and their high standards of excellence over the last few years is the full-time staff. And so this award will be presented between now and June UTA. So I can say it because the podcast isn't going to come out until after the award's presented and this individual is surprised by that award. But Captain Hypes has been recognized as the Outstanding Officer of the Year for the National Guard Association of West Virginia. So she's going to get that. Brittany has done a phenomenal job as the leader of the full-time staff, and she really embodies, you know, what we need from our full-time team, and that we're executing the mission. We're preparing our airmen to go do what they have to do, and that takes a lot of work on the full-time staff, as you know. So well done to Brittany and her team up there. So the three things I wanted to talk to today, and I'll probably take a little bit more time since the chief wasn't able to join us, and he gave me some notes to share with the audience out there. So I want to talk about our force management boards that we held last month in May, update on our strategic plan, and then some good news coming out of the community action team. So many folks are aware that each year the state senior leadership within the West Virginia Air National Guard and then the wing leadership meet usually at Camp Dawson, and it's to facilitate three different force management boards. So Selective Retention Review Board, or SRRB, AGR Continuation Board, or ACB, and then our Force Development Council meets. And that Force Development Council is really like the bookend to our ADP, our Airman Development Program here at the wing. We don't get a chance to really talk about what that process looks like, so I do want to spend some time sharing that with our airmen, talk about how the boards are composed, and then some of the anecdotal feedback, since we have to wait in order for TAG to sign off on the results of each individual board before we share that publicly. But the purpose of each one of those boards is really to effectively manage our force and our resources. So when we talk about SRRB, we're talking about all airmen, whether or not they're technician, AGR, or drill status, who have achieved 20 years' time in service, and they are considered for retention within the organization. So that's a proactive measure that allows a commander to recommend for retention or non-retention based on the needs of their unit. And the things that they look at is very simple, is the airman retirement eligible? Have they reached their max potential within the organization? And are they in a situation where they're holding other airmen up from having opportunities to continue to progress within the organization? An interesting thing to note is that the composition does not just include members of the West Virginia Air National Guard. As a matter of fact, the wing leadership teams from both the 167th and the 130th aren't voting members of those boards. They serve as advisors to the board. And there are members from out of state. In this case, this year, we had teammates from Delaware and from Pennsylvania that joined the boards who are voting members. So it's important for airmen out there that are meeting SRRB or ACB that they understand that there's other people involved in this decision-making process and the recommendations that ultimately go up to TAG for his final decision. Couple of things that Chief King wanted me to highlight in terms of those boards is that your individual personnel record matters. So you want to make sure that things are accurate. Every year we all get an email from, I believe it's ARPC or Virtual MPF, and it's on our birthday, and it tells us, hey, go out there and look at your record. And I would say that probably 8 or 9 of 10 out of 10 of us probably hit delete and don't give that email much thought, because if you're a DSG in this organization, you got a lot on your plate when you come in for drill, just like you talked about, sir. But what we would do is encourage all airmen to take that time around your birth month to go out and look at your record, make sure your awards, your assignments, your duty history, all your evaluations are up to date, because those are the things that these boards review whenever you're being considered for retention or extension within the AGR program, or in terms of the Force Development Council when we're looking at who are we identifying for future leadership opportunities. The second thing the chief wanted me to talk about was that your PME matters. This is for both officer and enlisted. So we see sometimes on the enlisted side that we have, you know, maybe an E7 that's been sitting in a particular position for 6 or 7 years, and they show leadership potential, and their command sees that potential in them and is recommending them for retention, but we look at the record and they haven't completed their senior course. That's entirely on the airman, and you obviously have a choice whether or not you want to do that PME, but you need to understand that not doing it is potentially puts you in a situation where you might be considered for non-retention when you meet the board. And the same is true for officers. So they look at our O4s and O5s who are north of 20 years of service, and they want to see whether or not they've completed their PME, not just for the next grade, but the grade that they're in. And then lastly, for all airmen, look for opportunities where you can add value to the organization outside of your primary assigned duty. And that doesn't mean that we want to encourage everybody to cross-train at the earliest possible point. Colonel Priest talks often, and he said it on today's podcast, that you need to be good at your job and you need to be ready to deploy, and that's our number one priority for every airman. But what it means is there are ways outside of your organization, whether that's through maybe the top three council or an activity that's going on within the wing or just any number of things where you can broaden yourself, provide a little bit more value to the organization, and people will see that and those efforts will be rewarded. The last two things I wanted to talk about today, one is just an update on our strategic planning process. So we introduced our strategic plan for 2025 and beyond. I think it goes out for the next 3 to 5 years. We introduced that over May UTA. For June UTA, and this is directed primarily at the G-Series commanders and those chiefs that are assigned as SELs to G-Series commanders, you'll see the action plan come out. And so these are the nuts and bolts of how we get after Colonel Priest's intent and the goals and objectives for the wing. And so those will go out to individual G-Series commanders, and it's very detailed on who's responsible for which actions, how those are measured, and how often we'll look at that data to see if we're on track to meet our goals and objectives. And then finally, Chief King and I had a chance to sit down with the Community Action Team in May, as part of their either monthly or quarterly meeting. And they've got some exciting stuff going on, so I want to put in a little bit of plug for them. They've developed a very short, easy-to-fill-out survey that will be accessible via QR code. It's anonymous. And if you're not familiar with the Community Action Team, it's a cross-functional, kind of interdisciplinary team that's made up of both the helping agencies and then other members within our organization. So, you know, there's a representation from the JAG office, from PA, from SAPR, family programs, chaplain, so on and so forth. And their whole goal is to help improve readiness by creating a good environment within the organization. So what this survey is going to allow airmen to do is be able to identify issues or potentially areas where we need improvement, or even provide positive feedback on the things that the wing is doing. And then the Community Action Team, or the CAT, as it's called, we'll be able to take that feedback and potentially drive action and address some of those issues. Or maybe it's a good idea about some kind of event we can hold at the wing, you know, in terms of morale, welfare, and recreation. So you'll see that come out this weekend over June UTA. The surveys, the QR code, excuse me, for the surveys will be published throughout our facilities. And if you have something, an area where you think, hey, this is a place where we need a little bit more work, then by all means, scan that QR code. It's completely anonymous. You can provide a couple answers to some short questions and have a chance to impact us doing better here at the wing. That's all I have today, sir. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that's going to do it for this episode of The Drop. For more information about the 130th Airlift Wing, visit us on the web at www.130aw.ang.af.mil. Additionally, you can find us on all major social media platforms. Lastly, you can see us in the skies delivering freedom with courage. Stay ready to go.